Do you lead an organization, a business, company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com, S-I-M-A International, for inspired performance.
Join the team from SEMA International on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, here on 104.1 The Truth.
Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. It's a pleasure to continue on our special show today focused on the System for Identifying Motivated Abilities, otherwise known as SEMA. My guest now is a managing director, Ron Evans. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Hi, Zara. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, let me give a brief introduction. Ron's practice focuses on CEO and chief operating officer leadership recruitment for companies undergoing significant growth or change. In fact, I would say his middle names include Extract Potential and Harness Change. Ron has been recruiting high-impact executives for 25 years, completing hundreds of challenging management assignments for diverse organizations. His monikers are Results, Maximum Talent Access, and Unparalleled Insight into Candidates. And quite frankly, that's allowed through his use of this special system. It's at the core of what and how he goes about what he does. So, Ron, if I could start with the following question or comment. You and I had a recent discussion about your particular practice, and you made an interesting statement by saying that the SEMA approach is like a fourth variable from the other three that you may already know. Talk to us what you meant by that systems picture.
Well, yeah, actually, I may have said a third variable from the two you
okay.
already know.
Okay, there you go. We'll add another.
In any event, the metaphor that I often use, Zara, is a stool with three
yes.
legs. And typically, when we look at people, whether it's a recruiting project or, frankly, a management assessment, a team assessment, which we will sometimes do for venture capital and private equity funds prior to their investment in a management team in a company, the first two are fairly evident. You have functional expertise. You can look at a person, whether it's a CEO, a VP of marketing, chief financial officer, and you can say there are educational, certification, and experiential requirements that qualify somebody to do those jobs. And so you have your functional expertise that helps you master the thing that you do. You have your industry or your domain expertise, which simply says there are things about running a company in a particular industry that one needs to know or get familiar with to be successful and efficient and effective. You know, obviously, you know, an auto parts manufacturer and a food processing company have different operational requirements and understandings and rules and regulations to play by. Those are the two axes that most people look at a candidate on. They would say, you know, functional competence and industry experience. When you bring SEMA into this process, it's almost like to piggyback off the Avatar sensation.
Yes.
These days, it's almost like having 3D glasses on. And all mm-hmm. of a sudden, you can say, in addition to a person's functional competence and industry competence, what motivates this person? What does this person really love to do? And whether you define it as SEMA does, or some people call it a sweet spot, you even hear people like Michael Jordan talking about, you know, in the days when he was on a scoring tear, you know, he was in the zone. There was a place where he could feel what was happening before it happened. People have a spot where they operate from maximum competency. SEMA helps us get our arms around that. I'll give you maybe a simple case in point. You know, you might have a chief financial officer. And a company says, we need a chief financial officer to, you know, fill this vacancy or need. We could look at the experience and education requirements. We could look at the industry that the business is in. But when you begin to look at the SEMA perspective on people, you say, you know, I need to know more about a candidate than just those two things. I need to know, does this CFO love to build infrastructure, for example? Love to set up systems and processes, or does this CFO like to fine-tune systems and processes that are already there? Does this person love to delve in and provide some financial analysis and understanding and sort of unique insight that can transform the way the CEO or the board looks at the company? Do they love the thought of being able to outdo the compliance, be it Sarbanes-Oxley,
you
auditors,
bet.
Et cetera, and like be a step ahead so everything is buttoned down and tight? These different profiles, within the realm of CFOs, the idea that they're all the same is simply not true when you add a SEMA dimension to looking at these people.
And of course, what's most important, absolutely. In fact, when you think about what you're hiring for, particularly as you focus on venture-backed firms or those that are coming out of bankruptcy, let alone ones that are in the spark uptick, is that you're actually hiring for what is going to happen, not just what is resident today. So that, of course, requires you to also test for that sweet spot, too, before it might be evident.
Exactly. And what's interesting when it comes to interviewing, in fact, you can't always get to the key information you need if you're interviewing somebody about their functional and industry experience. And give you a quick example. Today, I interviewed an individual for a chief lending officer position for a financial institution. And this the institution that we're working for is going through a very rapid growth cycle, which is kind of unusual in financial services these days. And the person that we were interviewing has come from several very large established scenarios where there's billions of dollars of assets, and we have a much smaller, rapidly growing scenario. But because of our commitment to SEMA, which is really a systematic kind of behavioral interviewing approach, we digressed from purely the business discussion to talk about things that she loves to do. And lo and behold, it turns out that for several years, not listed on her resume, she went out and built houses for herself. I mean, literally, she would hire the crew, she'd buy the real estate, she'd knock the house down, put a new house up, and she'd sell it, and then she'd go do another one. And when she identified the most sort of fulfilling experiences in her 28-year career, she pinpointed that as one of the top ones. Well, what I find interesting about that is, first of all, very hands-on. It's also very, there's a lot of build, grow, develop types of dynamics there.
Which is perfect for what you need and the opportunity you're looking to fill.
Exactly. And yet, if you looked at her resume,
it's not there.
You wouldn't qualify her based on the resume alone for that sort of thing. So that's an example of how this sort of 3D or this additional understanding of people can at times it confirms what you already suspect, but sometimes it can profoundly alter your view of somebody.
Well, I think also just the individual's view of themselves, because that person may or may not have even thought at some point in their own career trajectory that going to a smaller organization, I mean, just knock off a few zeros, right? That nonetheless would really play to how she's really wired to behave successfully.
Exactly. And it may sound a little different, but when you hear somebody say, you know, when the company had its back against the wall, and you know, it was the middle of winter, and it was in Buffalo, New York, where you don't have a whole lot of daylight, and things were depressing and hard. I really just felt like I kind of rallied right at that moment, and I was able to get the team behind me and to push through sort of a new product innovation or to persuade the board that we needed to go in a new direction. When you hear those sorts of things from somebody in the context of, let's say, interviewing a CEO, you can say, you know, this is a person who really has a drive to overcome. And when the chips are down, they actually shine more than when things are going well. Those are really important data points that you can then look at the situation of the hiring organization and say, is that organization in that kind of position? Because if so, this person could be really well suited. And if not, maybe not.
Well, and if not, then it probably isn't the candidate you'd want to present, because that person eventually, if not in the short order, wouldn't be happy there. And there you go again, backed in the process.
Right. So this is more than just, when we do behavioral interviewing and in the SEMA process for candidates, you know, some people go, oh, do you want to know, you know, birth order, when you were potty trained? And we
That's
go, no. We we're not interested in that, but we're very, very interested in what sorts of work gives you a sense of real fulfillment and, what sorts of things you naturally are drawn to. Because, in fact, people will spend time on the things that they love.
Absolutely.
And if it's not in the job that they're in, they will actually create opportunities for that sometimes when it's disruptive to the very organization they're with. It's almost like a gravitational pull people have within them.
Yes, in fact, Art Miller said before, it's irrepressible. It's something you can't hide. You know, you can run, but you can't hide. It'll always still come back there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a lot of challenges when it comes, of course, to boards and management teams selecting the right talent. But there's some pretty common pitfalls that you see, aren't there?
Yeah, there are. It never ceases to amaze me how, there are trends or tendencies people tend to have. For example, I think it's the idea of trust or familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
Common among boards or CEOs when they're hiring somebody, you have this sense of, gee, I know this guy. You know, and so let's bring him in to be our, and I'll go back to just, you know, a simple example, a CFO. Let's bring him in as our CFO because, I knew him in this past company and I trust him. And we find it always a challenge to sort of sit back and play the devil's advocate and say, well, let's look at the three legs of the stool. Let's look at his industry experience, his functional experience, and the motivational piece and say, does that fit? And yet, it is always, it takes a lot of energy to get somebody to back away from, gee, I know this person, I'm comfortable. Because what they're saying is, I'm comfortable with this person, and we sort of feel like our job is, you know, okay, but that's not a qualification.
Sure.
You know, yes, you want to trust somebody, but that doesn't trump competency. It also shouldn't trump rational decision-making and thinking. So, you know, some of the hiring pitfalls are people going for what's familiar or comfortable as opposed to something that, a person who truly addresses the driving needs of the business. And CEMA can often help because not only can we present a case about the candidate that it can be compelling for the organization to understand, we always use the CEMA process on the person who's hiring.
Yes. Yeah.
And so we can let them know, listen, you know, for example, in a CFO case, I'll make up a hypothetical. If you have a CEO who's big picture vision oriented, driving to the future, not a lot of attention to detail. That's just not a part of their pattern. It's not something that really galvanizes their interest. What they may want in hiring a familiar person that's a CFO is they consider that to be a person who tends to details that they don't like.
Correct.
And
the
so
balances.
What you can say is, listen, we'll make sure that the CFO that's hired is going to be able to pick up those pieces you're lacking. But that doesn't mean it has to be, you know, this individual that you're already familiar with. But your tendency is, you know I'm weak in those details. I want to shore that up with somebody who, quote unquote, I can trust. And so sometimes, often in fact, helping the hiring people or the hiring committee understanding their own motivational makeup can help give them insight that allows them, I think, to be a little more objective about who they're choosing and why they're choosing them.
And then, of course, a picture that they do select this candidate, that having this additional knowledge and the candidate themselves, what a wonderful way to get onboarded then into this new, likely volatile situation where they have to hit the ground running.
Absolutely. And I may have shared with you in our previous conversations, Zara, we have when we have worked with some of these investors and helped them with a strategic hiring situation, we've often heard that they know more about the person they hired than they do about anybody else on the management
team, right?
And that led to some, innovative investors sort of saying, you know, how about if we use this process as part of our due diligence prior to investing in a company?
Superb. Yeah.
So we use the CEMA process. We talk with the management, each of the person on the management team, and really determine this is what this person loves to do. This is what their strong suit is. And present a comprehensive picture to the investors of how the management team works. And we've had many investors say, just like you said, sort of onboarding, we've had many investors say they begin each year looking through the management reports that we've done on their portfolio companies and refreshing their memory as to what does the CEO really like to do? what does the CFO want to spend time with? And when I call him up for a monthly update on the status of the company, how can I manage that conversation productively so I find out what I need to know, and you know, also, you know, kind of fulfill whatever his needs and expectations are in terms of interacting with us and you know, feeling positive about his contributions. So it's almost like having an owner's manual on a group of people. And then, of course, as you mentioned, onboarding, it gives you tremendous insight into how do I help this person get more comfortable with what they're about to engage in with this new company that's hired them. How can I help this person, or what should I expect in terms of communication?
Sure. In fact, if we can dial back, you know, unfortunately, because what plays out in the media many times is venture capital firms may have the, you know, reputation of, you know, hire, fire, buy, get their assets, move on. But in truth, there are a lot of venture capitals that hire to hold and want to see those new investments grow. And so deep in that need is to go beyond the due diligence on financials, intellectual property, those hard assets, and move into the soft assets, primarily, of course, the top leaders that you have a chance to touch. My question is, Ron, do you see more organizations recognizing the power of understanding that three-legged stool?
You know, I do. In fact, I believe there's a statistic that says that the investors who spend more time on the people issues, trying to understand them, tend to have portfolios that outperform those who simply say, "Gee, we want to have a software company, we'll buy one." You know, we want to have, you know, if the more upfront due diligence and understanding, the more energy they put into that, the bigger the payback. And I think that's for reasons, for example, Jim Collins, you know, suggests in Good to Great that in fact getting the people thing right is more important than getting the who, as he says, right, is more important than getting the what.
Yes.
In other words, if you've got a good group of people, you can literally switch the product mix that they're producing and have a greater chance of success than trying to buy a company that has the product mix that you want. So many investors are of the growing opinion that buying, so to speak, buying a good team may be more valuable than buying a company that has a particular product or technology. Ideally, we want both.
Both, yes.
And if you ask an investor who's had a portfolio or an investment fund that has struggled, and you know, almost to the man, they will tell you, or to the woman, because it's obviously a, you know, field that attracts, you know, the best and brightest from all, you know, all walks
of life. Yes.
But if you ask them, you know, why a portfolio didn't do well, 90% of the time they'll tell you it was people issues, and people issues just eat their lunch. Investors don't want to struggle with the people issues.
And
so
that
many are seeing it as preemptive.
You bet. And in fact, that's not just venture capital investments, but that's merger and acquisitions, that's reorganizations, that's reengineering. I mean, all those elements of organizational change, boy, to have that additional insight, and if at the same time you can unleash all those positive capabilities at people and get them refit, sky's the limit.
Yeah. Clearly, from a performance standpoint, and you know, we just have come out of an era of almost the privatization of lots of businesses across America, as cheap money made huge amounts of capital available, and private equity funds bought up lots of businesses across. And the assumption was that cheap money would be around forever, and that values would go up, and you could flip a company in 5 years. For all you had to do is grow the top line and keep EBITDA healthy, and
sure,
you could turn a quick penny. Turns out that's not the case anymore. And in fact, these companies really have to bear down and make very tough decisions. And productivity and efficiency are more than just having a Six Sigma black belt. It's really about the work styles of people that allow if somebody is gifted to the task, as Art Miller the Elder would have said, if somebody's gifted to the task, they can quite literally, with the same amount of energy, get more work done than somebody who isn't. And that translates into real dollars and cents.
Well, not only that, but also the retention then of that individual or individuals, and also everyone else in their wake, because you're creating a culture that allows people to perform where they're best matched.
And to that point, it almost allows you to have a different view of people in the sense that you say, you know, we might have a CEO whose sweet spot is growing this business from $50 million to $100 million. And when we get past that, the things that he loves to do best and is best at, he actually has less and less opportunity over time as things get bigger. So we may actually want to, if I'm an investor, I might look at my portfolio as not only companies and the assets or products those companies have, but I might say I have a portfolio of management talent.
Exactly, here. That you could move across.
Yes. And it's kind of an interesting and different way that says, you know, just because we recruit Zara Larson to be CEO of ABC Company doesn't mean that she needs to sit in that chair for the next 10 years. In fact, she may enjoy a certain aspect of the growth of that business. And after that, if we can find other companies that are going to go through that same phase, everybody would be better served by that kind of movement. So it's an interesting and different view of people in business.
Well, wonderful. Well, Ron, congratulations. And to know that, by the way, that you and your colleagues are on the front edge of bringing that kind of a shift from SEMA International. I look forward to continuing to connect. Again, this is Dr. Zara Larson. My guest at this point was Ron Evans from SEMA International. Thanks again.
Thanks so much, Sarah.
You bet. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Do you lead an organization, a business, company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com, SIMA International, for inspired performance.